Good evening, guys. I'm William. This is Mika. I just want to say before we start that we are in love, and I love her very much, and she's an extremely beautiful girl, and I am pursuing her, and the reason for our dating is to end in marriage, and then live happily ever after. Yeah. Okay. Okay, guys, I'm gonna speak so as far as I can. I'm gonna try to speak English. Please bear with me. Mika's gonna speak English, Afrikaans. Sorry. Bloemfontein really murders your English, so just bear with me. We started going out in end of 2007. I didn't know God yet at all. I was in the world. My life was basically defined by sin, and I started liking Mika in my standard 7 year, 2005. I got a liking into her. Okay, and then in 2007 we were drunk one night in a club. I don't know what the English word is, but ons het gevry. Okay, that's what happened that evening. That was the Saturday evening. The Monday I asked her out. I asked her out, and I told her that I want to pray other girls as well, but I want to go out with her also. Okay, so that's, if you, as jy 'n meisie is en jy is 'n Christen, wil jy verkieslik nie so uitgevra word nie. Then 5 months after that, 5 months after that, I got saved and everything changed. Our relationship changed. Everything changes when you get saved. Okay, and that's basically the beginning.
Hallo julle. Okay, so ek gaan net my ervaring van die begin ook vir julle vertel. Ek wil net byvoeg, ons is vandag, presies vandag, 5 jaar, 2 maande en 15 dae saam. Sonder enige break-up, maar in elk geval, die begin, ek was dan 9 gewees, ek was maar baie kinderagtig en jonk, en ek het vir William, begin stand 9 het ek met 'n ander ou uitgegaan, en toe cheat hy op my, voor my, en toe is ons nou uit, en soos, hoekom ek dit sê, ek was klaar, ek was glad die confident, ek was baie insecure as ek by ouens kom, en toe, ek dink het was, ek weet nie, dit is in Augustus gewees, toe is ons by een keier, en toe sien ek vir William, vir die eerste keer, hy sê, hy het my van 7 gesien, maar ek kan nie dit onthou nie, ek weet nie hoe hy van 7 van my begin uit nie. Maar toe sien ek vir William, en dit was een week voordat hy my uitgevra het, en ek het hom gesien, ek was rarig, dit was vir my love at first sight, want ek sien hierdie ou, hy is so groot, en hy het regtig net soos 'n gentle giant gelyk, en ek was so verlief op hom die oomblik wat ek hom gesien het, en dit klink nou belaglik, maar ek was regtig verlief op hom, en ek het teruggegaan koshuis toe, en ek het vir al my vriendinne gaan vertel van hierdie ou, en so aan, en hulle het net vir gesê, Mika, jy is belaglik, jy gaan altyd vir die players los het net, nee? En ek soos, whatever, ons het vir mekaar gekyk, en ons, daar is net liefde aan die gang, en toe, toe later na die week, toe invite en Mr. Incredible my op mix het, en ek sies, jylle, ek gaan nou nie, het jylle al Mr. Incredible gekyk, William like survive so, anyway, en ek gaan toe na die ander meisies, toe in die kos, ek sies, jylle, wie is Mr. Incredible, hulle sies, dit is William, want allemaal het om as a contact anyway gehad, en toe chat as ek jy op mix het, en toe, die naweek wat kom, is toe interskole, en ek weet nie wie van julle weet nie, maar interskole in die Parel is 'n massiewe ding, dit is soos die grootste bijeenkomst in die land amper, en William het eerstens van gespeel, so ek het hom klaar geheel vir dit, en die saterdag het William hulle gespeel, en ek was baie kinderagtig, want heel tyd terwyl die rugby wedstryd aan die gang was, ons is so 200 meisies wat die rugby wedstryd gekyk het in ons skoolklere, en ek sien vir my vriendinne Jelle, hy kyk vir my, hy kyk heel tyd vir my, en hulle is Mika, hy speel rugby, en jy sit tussen meisies wat die selfde skoolklere aan het as jy, so ja, ek was regtig belaglik geweest, maar en toe daai aand het ons gevry. Dit was lekker geweest, maar dit was baie verkeerd. En nee, dit was lekker, maar want verstaan, niemand het my geglo dat ons van mekaar hou nie. En toe vra ons nou en toe ek sê ja, toe kon ek vir my vriendinne sê ons hou actually van mekaar. En toe vra hy my uit 2 dae na dit, die maandag. En hy het vir my gesê, sal jy my hart bly maak jy met my uitgaan? En toe sê ek, ja, verseker, maar toe sê hy, ja, maar hy wil net daai December aan 'n meisie sprei. Want hy het 'n gesegde gehad met, vat die sand vir hom see toe nie. Dit beteken, vat die meisie vir hom see toe as jy, ja, anyway. Anyway, en maar die ding is net, soos ek was so verlief op hom, ek het nie omgegee nie. Verstaan, dit is eintlik shocking, maar ek het self gedink, ek gaan in elk geval daai December huis toe gaan en ek het nog iets aangehad met 'n ou daan in Mbwe, so dit gaan nie eintlik saak maak nie, dis net 'n fling hierdie. En toe nooi ek vir William na Mbwe toe en hy sê nee, hy gaan nie vir my kom kuier nie. Ek sê ook okay, fine. En toe ek weet nie wat gebeur het hier en toe kom hy eventually, toe klim hy op 'n bus en hy kom kuier vir my in Wolfsbaai. En daai vakansie het alles verander. Ons het mekaar leer ken en ja, dit het regtig William se lewe het verander, my lewe het verander en ja.
Ja, dit is nou verskriklik snaaks eintlik, maar dis terrible. Ons het vir 5 jaar, nee, vir 4 jaar, het ons verskriklik gestruggle in ons verhouding. En dis as gevolg van dit, hoe ons begin het. So, I want to tell you tonight, I want to be brutally honest. The way your relationship starts, as a, not a big influence, is the biggest influence. Is the biggest thing that will determine the end result of your relationship. Okay. We struggled extremely with sin, and we were extremely physical. Ons was seksueel met mekaar. It really was terrible in the beginning. And when I got saved, a lot of things changed, but because of that stronghold in my life, because of that, I think it kept going through. It came with us in after I got saved, and after she had a revelation of God. Matric, we continued in our sin whilst going out. It was never confronted. We were never accountable towards anyone. I never told anyone about it. She never told anyone about it. And we just kept on going like that. And I want to tell you tonight, ons het gevry, ons het al die dinge gedoen wat jy aan kan dink. Now, because of that problem in my personal life, because of her insecurity in her personal life, when we got together, that exploded. It completely exploded. Your weaknesses, and the things you are struggling with, your challenges, gets exposed and it explodes when you are in a relationship with someone. And ons gaan nog net uit, we're just dating, but I don't even want to know what happens when you get married one day. I mean, I can't tell you how your weaknesses surfaces when you're in a relationship. So now when you're married, I mean, yeah. And the root of our issues, the root of the lust and the sexual sin in our relationship was how we started, okay? Now we started badly, now it is bad. We never sorted it out after that. We just kept in continuing in that, telling no one, kept on sinning. Is there nog iets wat ek wil sê?
Ja, ek kan my net byvoeg by dit. Hy het persoonlik in sy lewe met last gesukkel. Ek het persoonlik gesukkel met, baie erg gesukkel met insecurities. En toe het by mekaar kom, sy nou verduidelik, het hierdie explode. En hoe, ek was baie insecure in my persoonlike lewe. So, hoe dit explode in ons verhouding is, ek het affirmation gesoek deur ons wat vry en fisiese goed doen. Want ek het so daai affirmation gevind in dit. En hy oomlik wat William vir my verstaan, net as het vry en goed. En ja, ek het net besef dat ja, ek het ook, ja, wat ook uit dit uitgekom het, is 'n wantroue. Ek het glad nie vir William vertrou nie. Ek weet vir die eerste 5 maande in ons verhouding kon ek hom nie vertrou nie, maar nadat het sy lewe verander en toe kon ek hom vertrou, maar tot nou toe is dit baie keer 'n challenge in ons verhouding. Dis regtig goed wat van daai tyd af al kom en ons het nou gelag in die begin daaroor, maar dit is regtig die root van al ons issues is hoe ons begin het en boop dit was dit nou nog ook ons persoonlike dinge wat het net erger gemaak het. So ja, dit is regtig belangrik soos hoe mens begin in 'n verhouding en ja, en my hart moes baie erg verander het ook toe William eers verander het, toe om eers daai shift te maak van hoor hy nou sy nuwe mens, nou moet ek actually my hart verander en regtig vertroue sit in hom.
The things that you struggle with, your challenges in life, I promise you, you can't hide them in front of someone that you spend a lot of time with. And we do spend a lot of time together, an extremely high amount of time, and it will surface. So there is nothing that you can hide that happened in your past that will not come out and that will not surface. In the beginning, because of my past, you know, sexual stuff was never an issue for me because I was in the world. So when I started going out with Mika, she wasn't different from any other girl. We just kept on doing all the stuff that we did. That thing that you're thinking about now, yes, we did that. The thing that you're doing with your girl, the thing that you are doing with your girl at the moment, we did that. Okay? And I thought it was fine. I thought it was, you know, it's how it works. Then I want to touch a subject, vry. Was nie Engelse woord daarvoor nie, okay? Kissing, smooching. Okay? I want to tell you girls something tonight, and there may be men here that disagree with me. But I come to me afterwards and tell me it's not like that. I want to tell you guys how I believe men experience smooching. They do not think about marriage when they are kissing you. Men do not think about roses, brilliant music, children at the beach, romance. Oh, this is so, I'm just so in love now. They do not think that. They do not think that. Kan almal my hoor? Okay? Dink aan drie goed. Ek gaan dit nie nou noem nie. Dit is so. Moet ek dit noem? 'N ou dink aan seks, aan die meisie se boobs en aan haar boude. Dit is waarna hy dink. En ek sê dit nou vir julle, want dis die waarheid. Okay? Dit is hoe dit is. As jy anders is, as jy 'n man is en jy's anders, asseblief kom vertel vir my. Dan wil jy net vir my kom bid, asseblief. Ek wil ook daai blessing hê wat jy het. Okay. And now, I'm not telling you guys, we're not looking down on people who do vry. We're not looking down at all. Ons was daar. We made those mistakes. I know the end result of that. Okay. Ons het nie mekaar se klere afgeruk, dadelik begin klere afruk nie. We started by kissing. Okay. So that is the root of the problem. That is the root of the problem. Okay, guys? And this is serious because no one ever wants to talk about it. Because, you know, it's personal, eh? It's personal. It's my private life. Did I mention everything?
Van my kant af, net is, ons as meisies, persoon, vry vir meisies, ek weet nou nie hoe julle dit ervaar nie, die van julle wat vry, maar net soos ons is baie emosioneel en ons ervaar net dinge emosioneel en ek kan dink vir 'n hele lang ruk as ek met William gevry het, dan dink ek net ja, hy sien nou sy kinders in my oë en ewigheid en soos verstaan, dit's net soos fantasties, hy wil net vir ewig saam met my wees, maar die feit hy staan, as 'n ou met jou vry, soos wat William nou gesê het, dink hy aan hoe hy homself wil bevredig en dit is laat. Verstaan, en ek voel net, meisies hulle neer, baie keer soos nee, maar dit hou ons naby aan mekaar, want jy voel naby aan 'n ou as jy met hom vry. Okay, as ek nou kan terugdink, het ons die kerel wat ons die meeste beklei het, was toe ons actually gevry het en fisiese goed gedoen het, maar 'n meisie dink of baie keer ja, dit ons is so close nou dat ons vry. Maar ja, ek wil maar net sê dat ons as meisies moet ons emosionele gevoelings een kant toe skuif en regtig die ouens net so respekteer in dit met vry, want dit voel vir my die meisies sal vir die ou sê nee, maar ons moet vry, want ek het al baie keer soos as William sê of moenie vry, dit is hoekom nie. Dis daarom en dit is so lekker en ek voel so naby aan jou, maar 'n ou dinkie vir nie. En ja, ek wil maar net vir julle challenge op dit as meisies.
Yes, and I want to add to that. The moments, the days that I felt closest to Mika, that things were in tune, ons het mekaar gevind, was when I met the Lord that morning, or when I was in step with what the Holy Spirit was doing in my life. I want to add this, ons het dit nou nie op die notes hê. Your relationship with the person that you are dating, the goodness, the rating, 18-8, is measured and determined by the time that you spend with God alone. If you are not meeting God, you will not meet each other. There will be strife, there will be conflict. It bewys homself every time that we fight, every time we argue about something. You can go back to that morning, the previous evening. Was I at the Lord's feet? How's my prayer life? Have I been meeting God in Scripture? Or is it just this airy-fairy, high-five Facebook? Oh, this is so in love. Oh, this is so amazing. I want to challenge you guys today. How's your relationship with God, personally? And then go and measure that against your relationship with the person in your life. Okay? You will see it loop parallel met mekaar. Okay? Then I wanna. So, firstly, do I believe fraying is wrong? Yes. Why? Because it results in lust. And what does God say about lust? Christ said, if any man lusts in his heart, he has committed adultery. Why are we going out? We want to marry one day. When will I be ready to marry her? When the fundamentals, according to Scripture, Hebrews 6 specifically, is sorted out in my life. Okay? Not when I'm still struggling with porn. Not when I'm still drinking beer in Wiesbaden every Friday evening. Then I'm not ready to marry. I want to add something else. Girls, you cannot change a guy. You will not change him. You cannot change him. You will never, ever, ever change him. If he drinks a bit now, he's going to be an alcoholic later. If he watches a bit of porn now, he's going to be a pervert later. Go and watch the testimony of Ted Bundy on the internet. He raped and murdered 35 people. This is serious, guys. But how's our approach towards it? Our approach is, nah, man, it'll be sorted out, man. It'll be fine. And then we get to marriage, and everyone wonders, oh, why is my marriage so terrible? Because it wasn't sorted out in the beginning. I brought the feel. Okay. I want to read a few scriptures for you guys so that I want to back this with Scripture. I don't want to stand here and give my opinion here. So Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good or of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee youthful lusts. Flee. 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 As jy alleen in 'n kamer is saam met die girl en sy lyk ongelooflik, hardloop uit. Run out. Run out. I'm serious. You're spoiling her. And if you're not going to marry her, you're spoiling someone else's wife one day. Sy is nie joune nie. Dis nie joune om aan te vat nie. Peter 1, verse 13 to 16. If you ever wondered if God speaks about holiness in the Bible, read this. Wherefore, gird up your loins and your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. Daai laaste deel, vers 16, het Christus gesê, Jesus Christ, the reason that you are saved, the author and finisher of your salvation, the one who came down from heaven, who died on the cross for you, He said, be holy, because I am holy. Now tell me, is there any compromise in that sentence? Any compromise in that sentence? Me and Mika, we had an intense struggle regarding sexual sin in our lives. But I can praise God today, and I can praise my accountability partner, and I can praise friends and pray that we are free from that now. And that not of me, so that I can boast, but of grace. And I believe that we are going to get married tomorrow, next week. We're going to get married. And we're going to have a good relationship because the Holy Spirit is in our relationship. Not because I'm cool or Mika is cool, because the Holy Spirit is in our relationship. We have a relationship according to the Word of God, and we follow Him and we are subject to Him. Okay. I'm waiting. You guys can ask any questions now. Please do not ask questions like, what is Mika's favorite color? Or where do we go and eat? Favorite flower? You know, what part of her do I enjoy most? Whatever. I'll give you a stupid answer. I promise you. So, as enigiemand enige vraag het. Asseblief. Asseblief. Ja man, asseblief. Please guys. Oké, lente het eerste. Oké, great. Oké, ek wou nog altyd vir dit. Hier kom het nou. Vriendskappe tussen meisies en ouens. Okay, obviously there are three instances now. You have a friendship with between a girl and a guy. If they are not dating someone, then if one of the party is dating someone, and then if one of the party is married. Okay, so ek en Janie kan vriende wees. Sy gaan met niemand uit nie. Ek gaan met niemand uit nie. Of dan Janie gaan met iemand uit. Ek gaan met niemand uit nie. Okay, so in die eerste geval, girls and boys being friends. I don't think it's so kosher, because what does it lead to? It leads to the one dating someone, then the other one is, oh, we're not friends anymore. I can't go and visit anymore. Jy soos dit, meisies, jy is vriende met die ou. Of jy is vriende met die ou. jou ou, jou toekomstige ou is vriende met 'n meisie. Jy gaan nou met hierdie ou, hier begin julle nou uitgaan. Hier gaan jou ou, hy gaan kuier by 'n ander girl, drink koffie. Daar is jou antwoord, okay, op die eerste deel. Die tweede deel, denk ek persoonlik dat, is soos, die getroude waar ek is getroud en ek is nog vriende met 'n ander meisie, is bietjie awkward. Want ons definisie van vriendskap is, oh, ons drink net bietjie koffie saam en, jy weet, ons high five mekaar, vir 2 ure lang, in 'n kamer. Verstaan, dis ons definisie van vriendskap. Ek dink, wees vriende met jou eie generasie, met jou eie ras, en jou eie geslag, sorry, with your own sex friends, and then, obviously, friendships in a group is obviously very safe. So, rather play it safe, Mieke, wil jy iets gesê het?
Ek dink net, ja, ek dink vriendskap in 'n groep is baie goed. Ek dink net, ja, vir meisies en ouens wat te close raak, te draak, as daai een van daai twee nou 'n ou of 'n meisie kry, dan wat gebeur dan met daai vriendskap? Dis al wat, dan, ja, meisies huil gewoonlik as hulle vriende nou meisies kry, want dan kan hulle nou nie meer koffie drink en alleen movies kyk in die kamer nie. So ek dink vriendskap in 'n groep is maar altyd die beste.
Justin, you wanted to ask something? No, not at all. I would not recommend that at all. What happened was, after three years, I started being in accountability. So it was 3 years of just speaking to no one, not caring, not worrying, no one giving wisdom, no one telling me what to do. So I would say it is a difficult thing to just leave each other. Or continue battling in that thing. So I don't want to make a call, but what I want to say is, if you're not in accountability with anyone, someone telling you, yes, Chopper, jy is verkeerd, then I don't think you are mature enough to be in a relationship. So if that is in order, wait.
Ek dink verseker jy hoef nie verstaan die kere wat ek en William moes uitgemaak het oor sulke goed is meer as 100 keer, verstaan? So ek dink mens kan deur dit kom, verstaan? Want as julle al twee selfdes het julle die Here en verstaan Jesus maak jou vry van sonde en so dit is moontlik as jy in accountability stap. So ek dink glad nie mens hoef op te breek as sê net maar as dit 'n issue is nie, maar behalwe vir julle direk met julle praat en sê hoor dit is nou verby. Maar verseker, denk ek, met accountability en met julle altyd wanneer julle se gesig soek, kan jy verseker oor dit kom. En soos vry, ja, soos ek het 'n testimony ook gehoor van 'n koppel wat hulle het 4 jaar saam gebly en saam hulle het toe saam pon gekyk en kry goed gedoen en toe het hulle altyd gered geword. Hulle altyd was saved en hulle het vir 3 jaar toe verstaan die Here se gesig gesoek en hulle het baie gebattle op jy nog met goed, maar hulle het apart gebly en ek het nou die dag weer met die vrou gepraat en sy het net vir my gesê soos hulle troudag was so koelvol gewees want sy kon nie een iets onthou wat actually gebeur het in hulle verlede nie. En dit is net vir my so 'n cool testimony van die Here wat regtig vir haar goed kom wegvat heeltemal.
But if you're not prepared to take radical steps, I always say if you struggle with lust and you work at Adult World, then you understand what I'm saying. If you're saying yes, I'm struggling with lust with my girlfriend, but we continually alone in the room. Sorry. Gee. Okay, great. Listen. hoe om in 'n verhouding in te gaan, hoe om te begin. Hoe om in 'n verhouding in te gaan, hoe om te begin. Okay, nou hierso gaan baie mense, many people tell me, William, you're legalistic, William, all these rules. I believe that as soon as someone starts liking a girl, I think it would be good if you put it on ice for 6 months. Okay, nou, mense gaan verskil vir my, but put it on ice for 6 months. And just have a look. If after 6 months you're still actually interested, you're still, you know, aangetrokke, attracted to that girl. And then, start, obviously, in that 6 months, your knees must bleed from prayer. You must really go to God in that. And then you pursue her, not alone somewhere. Yes, Robbie, kom saam met my en Sunny en Katrina, kom saam. Then we go and drink a coffee. You spend time with that girl in a group that is safe. And also, the guy that goes with you, he can tell you, Neapel, very, my girl is, this thing is lekker nie. You know, someone can give inspraak, someone can speak to you about it. I think that's the most important, inspraak, ter voorbereiding van daai verhouding. Because if you're not open to people giving direction, people telling you stuff, then where's your heart at that moment?
Elisabeth, wat ek nou aan dink is, as daar's nie iets, ek weet nie, William sê dit altyd beter, maar 'n meisie val baie maklik vir 'n godly ou. Soos 'n ou kan net vir sê, hoorie, ek het van die Here af gehoor en daai meisie sien trourokke en troukrokke en dis net amazing. Soos ek dink die probleem partykeer is single mense of in 'n begin van 'n verhouding. Die ou kom na die meisie toe en sê, hoorie, altyd gered. Die ou kom en sê, ja, ek voel die hele het nou vir my gesê, jy's nou, ons kan nou uitgaan. En dan sê meisie, sy's okay cool, en sy's net sy's helemaal verlief op die ou, en sy gaan nou net in hierdie ding in. En, wat ek net aan dink is, dat een meisie los het net oor aan die ou. Verstaan, een meisie moet ook die hele gaan soek in dit. Dit voel vir my, een meisie doen nie daarvan, sy gaan nie na die hele toe en gaan hoor by hom nie, want sy vertrou net die ou wat hy nou van die hele afgehoor het. En dan na 3 maande sê die ou, ja, maar ek het nou nie meer vrede nie, die Here het nou vir gesê, ons moet nou nie meer saam wees nie, dan huil die meisie, maar sy het eers van die Here gaan hoor nie. So ek dink die belangrikste in die begin van 'n verhouding is dat al twee moet by die Here gaan hoor, nie net die een of die ander een nie.
Ja, laaste vraag. Oom Len. Dat hulle saam is. Ja, oom Len. Ja. Okay. Die belangrike tips, hè? Belangrike tips, so ek sê, is as jy to meet with the Lord, to have your time with God personally. Okay? That is the most important thing of a relationship. That is the most. That's the biggest gift you can give to the other person. And to stay pure and to stay holy. That is the biggest gift that you can give to the other person. Okay, because in marriage, then things start being legal. And then you can enjoy the other person sexually. But with, apart from that, I would say nothing is legal, anything at all.
Good evening, church. Privilege to be here, especially with my wife. Just first of all, I want to honor her. She is actually in a lot of discomfort here, but she stayed committed to it. I really want to honor her for being here next to my side, not leaving me on my own here and having to speak to the ladies on my own. My name is Ter, for you that don't know me, and this is my beautiful wife, Mika. And we, on the 1st of December, we are married for 5 years. And amen to that. And the first product of our marriage is already 1 year old. She's lovely. And we're really enjoying her. And it's a privilege to, just to be married, especially to Mika. And just to do this thing called life together. What we first of all thought was just to quickly maybe say, I think a lot of you guys, can I just by a show of hands see who's actually married in the church here tonight? Yo, okay. Amen. Okay, so we're gonna focus, but we're gonna focus then more on the students. And I think a lot of you is actually sitting here and you're thinking, but how do I actually know is this my wife? How do I know this is my husband? And I think we're just quickly each gonna share our testimony of what happened to us.
Okay, yeah, so we survived the relationship years. It was actually very hectic. It was a very big roller coaster ride, and we are very sorry that we cannot bore you with the details tonight, but maybe someday we will be privileged to do so. Well, we did go out for a very long time, which is quite unfortunate. I would not say that is the ideal way to do it. It just makes things difficult and confusing. But about after 2 years, when we started going out in our second year in 2002. That I think you were probably like in grade one or something. We started going out, and at that stage in our lives, we were not completely led by Jesus. I know you don't get it doesn't exist to say things something like we weren't completely led, but I was kind of going to church just to quieten my conscience, and Tad wasn't actually doing any of that. So we didn't start out on the right foot, but yeah, we're not going to dwell on that. But about after 2 years when we started going out, we both really committed our lives to God. Luckily, we didn't mess up too much before, and I think we were quite naive and everything. But when we realized that this is it, and we really feel a lot for each other, we decided that we didn't want to speak about marriage too much. We knew kind of in the back of our heads that's probably where this is headed, but we didn't speak about it too much. When we were still students and everything, we were both in our fourth year, and he went away for athletics to the US. He'll tell you about that later. So I think it was 2006, I moved up to Pretoria. He was doing his athletics there, and he told me, no, okay, well, we are going to get married, so I must come up. And I stayed with a friend, and he stayed with friends, and he told me that we will get married, but not after he has finished his athletics. So I was thinking, it's fine, we can go on like this, but it's not the ultimate, like visiting each other at night and then having to drive back. If you drive back at 11, and then you have to face the cold and the winter and everything, and it was just terrible. It felt like second prize. So I had a lot of my cell group friends just pray with me and just tell them, I know that it doesn't need to be like this. I mean, he can still compete in the Olympics or whatever, even if he is married. I can, we can go out and we can be married. And he can prepare for that as well. So I don't see why he can't get married before that. But he was a really focused athlete. So I have to honor him for that as well. But so I had this faith goal. I asked the Lord that we can get married before 2008. And I knew actually, if your future husband tells you no, only after that, then there's no point in just pushing it. So I said, okay, that's fine, and I stuck with that. I never discussed that with him. That's a very important point I want to make. Never discuss this with a male figure, with your boyfriend or your husband to be, your faith goals or your prayers or your whatever. Don't tell him I'm praying that we will get married in 6 months. I don't think he's going to think that's funny. In the end, we did get married before 2008. It was amazing just to have, faithful friends around us. Him and me, we were in the Shofar in Pretoria then. We were really committed members, and we were in cell groups and praying and really fasting for these things. And I can't tell you what a tremendous difference that makes, just to have people who or around you and committed with you and really standing in faith for this thing. I would never have been able to do it without them. It's really priceless, friends, and I want you to really encourage you. Make sure that you've got people around you that you trust and that you love and that can speak into your life. People, this is super important. No man is an island. You cannot sit on your own, or even, you know, people sometimes say, no, but my friends don't understand or whatever. Obviously, yes, you get the cases where friends are jealous or whatever, but if you know your friend's heart, don't just ignore it. And then on the same topic, with parents, it's very much the same. I know we think, you know, what do my parents know? This is the love of my life. I'm just going to elope to Las Vegas. As I said, with the friends as well, sometimes there are rare cases where parents are just completely unjust. But we all know that our parents actually want the best for us. So you think, no, my mom is so ouderdoos, and we gaan sy nou vir my sê met wie ek nou moet uitgaan. And we, you know, you think, oh, this is true love, and he's a Christian. Oh yeah, and if he's a Christian, then it must work, you know. So and then you dishonor your parents. But the Bible says that we must honor our parents, and then we will live long in the land of our forefathers. So that's something that I just wanted to listen to your mom. Can I talk?
Sorry, we don't have a lot of time. William and Mikkel spoke so much, so we, I for ends are going to bring back arranged marriages when my daughter wants to get married. So I'm going to arrange a marriage for her. It's actually not that bad thing if you think, you know. I mean, you obviously want the best for them. I'm just joking. Just on my side, for the men, how do you actually know that, how did I know she was my wife? I left for the States to pursue this dream of mine, and when I got there, so we made out, and when I got there and broke up, I realized that I've actually left my wife back in South Africa, and I was so I sacrificed my wife to actually pursue my dream. And then I realized, but you know, without her, then this actually, the whole thing is useless. And then I started praying like crazy. I said to God, listen, I can't be here if this is my wife. And within 6 weeks, the whole thing changed around. I was on a plane back to South Africa, and so for me it was a thing of, I actually had to isolate myself, I had to go away, and then I actually realized that old saying of, you only know what you have until you haven't got it anymore. It's a cliche thing, I know, but it was really that for me in my life. And I had a lot of people around me, and I started praying. Obviously, I didn't come back and say to Mika, listen, we're going to get married. That was still sometime when I was in Pretoria, only then that I tell her that you know, we're going to get married, because I think the wife or the woman, that they need that security as well. But I had a lot of friends around me, and we prayed about it. I fasted about it just to hear, you know, obviously there's a lot of emotion in this whole thing, but to hear from God, you know, is this my wife? Is this the right woman for me? So I really want to encourage you guys, if you are in a relationship, get accountable, get people that can keep you accountable. Pray with your friends about your wife, about your future wife. We cannot pray enough about our wives. I cannot say that more as well. We must pray for our wives daily. And we need people to speak into our lives. We need people with wisdom to speak into our lives and guide us. I had a lot of friends in church as well. They actually asked me, listen, are you just going out with me? Could you actually have a plan to marry this woman? And that for me was, you'd think in the beginning, yes sir, but who's this guy to actually ask me that? But that is people that actually love you, because they care about you. They care about not just using a woman, because then you're actually just busy, as William said earlier, then you're just busy crapping in somebody else's sly. If she's not my wife, then I'm not supposed to be with her. And we need to hear that as men. We as the ones that's actually supposed to take the lead in a relationship, we need to hear from God, first of all and foremost. Amen. So did I answer that? I don't know. Did you get something from that? How do you know this is your wife? I prayed a lot about it. I fasted. And for me, it was something. For me, God speaks a lot to me if I've got peace about something. If you have unrest about it, and if people tells me that, listen, this is maybe not the right woman for you, then you need to actually open up your ears. All right. And when did I know when it's time to get married? I was, as she said, I said to her, listen, I'm first going to run and compete and do my things, and then you come in second after that. I was on an airport in Prague, I think, and I broke down in tears out of nowhere. And it was God just telling me that this is now time, this time of you putting yourself in front of everything and in front of my plans for your life is now finished. It's time you get married. And you stop this childish play of yours. And so, yeah, God spoke pretty clear to me. So that was just the first thing which I felt we need to share with you guys, because as I said, there's a lot of students here. Secondly, when we prepared for this thing, I said in the beginning of the week, I said to Mika, I really feel we need to speak about the sacredness of marriage. But then on Friday, I was at, and she actually did some research on the things and she printed everything out. And then on Friday morning, I don't know who of you were at the session. And I think God spoke pretty clearly there. And I phoned her up afterwards. I said, listen, I don't think we need to speak about this. I think we need to speak about just very quickly and powerfully, about the role of the man and the role of the woman. I just think there's a lot of people that grow up in families. That's got an absent father, it's got an absent mother, it's got an absent... there's no true reflection of what God has created marriage to be. And so your idea of marriage is completely warped. Your idea of your husband is warped. Your idea of your wife is warped. And I just said to Mika, we'd each take one point which we feel is the most important. And we're just quickly going to speak about that.
I just feel that I didn't really have time now to just explain how, from the girl's side, how did I know that he is my husband. And I just want to say this, especially in church, as I mentioned it earlier, just because you go to the same church and you both read out of the New King James and you both go to intercession doesn't mean that your marriage is going to last. So for me, what is extremely important is lots and lots and lots of chemistry. So I'm very big on you must not be able to keep your hands off of each other. Obviously, you must, unfortunately, but you must be extremely attracted to the other person. Listen, this is going to have to last for a long time. So if it isn't there at the beginning, it's not going to just fall out of the sky. So if obviously when you get to know someone better, you must, you know, there are obviously cases where you have to know the guy better. It was not at all from my side love at first sight. So I had to get to know him better, and then I just fell in love with him. the physical attraction is so important, but you must be able to be able to laugh together. Yes, he can make me laugh, and that is just amazing for me to see in two people. If the one can make the other person laugh, that is you must be able to be lighthearted together as well. And girls especially, don't look for too many signs. Because I think I had a list of 70-odd or 80-odd attributes who this husband of mine must be like and have this and whatever. And obviously, I think the Lord is so faithful. He just blew my mind when I actually realized that, you know, this is the man I'm going to marry. And it was as if the list didn't matter anymore. But I just want to tell you, girls, just throw your list away. I'm not saying bring down your standards, but the God that we serve, He knows your heart. He's just going to surprise you. He is going to completely sweep you off your feet. So I know that your list is important. I mean, I hung onto that list. I showed him actually beforehand, long before we got married. I hung onto that list for dear life. I mean, that was like this is my husband on paper. And I just want to tell you that it's not always the way that God works. And also, you must desire to spend every single moment of every day with this person. Because I couldn't stop being with him and wanting to be with him. And that's a good sign, eh? You will agree with me. That's a good sign. So you must be. Yeah. And another thing, just before you get married, I've spoken to a lot of friends of mine. These past couple of months, and some friends are actually getting divorced already, and they say to me, but I would ask them, but didn't you see these things weeks before you got married, I mean, did it not bother you, whatever? And then they would say, no, I thought that it would change afterwards, or I thought that we could build on the good on the good things, on the good characteristics, and the bad would just kind of fade away. If there's even one thing that bothers you before the marriage, be very much aware to go into that marriage, because it's going to come under a vergroot glas, magnifying glass when you get married. I mean, even the smallest thing that irritates you just blows up when you get married. And I mean, we are all fallen people. Obviously, he's got things, but there isn't one big thing, and still isn't, and there wasn't one big thing that I wanted to change about him. And that is so important, because yeah, that's something that you are going to have to sit with for the rest of your life. And we're not marrying each other to change each other. We're marrying the person who we are marrying at that specific moment.
Okay. What I felt just in you know, after Friday morning is just the scripture. I'm going to start with the scripture. I think that's best. Always good to start with the word. And this is now especially for the men. And obviously, men that is married, the three of us, or the four of us, and then the rest of the single guys, and also the ones that's engaged and that's in a relationship or just single. But I felt, and I got to this scripture, it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Pretty powerful scripture. And what this actually speaks about, and it's referring to a special danger and temptation. I read through a bit of commentaries. But it speaks of it warns us of temptations and dangers. And it's almost got a military connotation to it if you read it. And it's about people that's actually on duty and that's guarding a certain area. The guys that are vigilant, they're actually looking out for something. And it says there, if it speaks, it says of the men that we need to man up, we need to be men. And it actually says that there's not a lot of scriptures that actually says that. There's not a lot of, I think it says there's only one, and it's actually this one. But we, you know, we need to stand strong in our truth. We need to man up and we need to be strong. And that's what I felt so strongly on Friday morning. I felt that we as men have become weak. We've become complacent. And we are supposed, guys, to be the ones that are leading a family, supposed to lead a relationship. We're supposed to be the ones that are running way in front. And I don't see that. And it ties in a lot with what I spoke about 2 weeks ago. But I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge myself that we need to get to a place where we are actually leading. We need to get to a place where on a spiritual level, we are the ones that's taking the forefront. We are taking the baton in front. We're running out in front. We're not at that place. And God is warning us. And this is what the scripture also talks to me about. So I want to tell us that we need to man up. We need to become the men that God have called us to be. And I know a lot of the girls are maybe sitting here and you're thinking, oh, he's going off on a tangent with, you know, women need to submit and the men are more important than the women. And I say, yes, the women need to submit to the husband to the head of the house. Women are not less important. Did I say that right now? Women are just important. You play a very big role. You just see now, Mika will talk about that. But we are supposed to be the head. I'm supposed to lead this family of mine. I'm supposed to be the one that prays much more than the whole family. I'm the one that needs to hear from God, where are we going at as a family? And if you are, what does that mean for you? If you are single, it means that you need to sort out those things now already. I want to challenge you, just as William said, how's your relationship with God? For the engagement, I want to know how much are you actually praying for this marriage? How much are you praying for your role that you need to walk into? We've made it cheap, guys. We've made the role of the husband. We've made the role of the leader of the house cheap. We've become complacent. And we need to man up. We need to step up to the plate and we need to become what God has called us to be. Oma Anger said in, I think in 2007, But Oma Anger said in 2007, he said, the reason why the country is in the state that it is currently is because of a fatherless generation. And in the fatherless generation, I mean that men are not standing up, men are not taking the lead. And we don't mean that we're going to push down the woman and you're going to be our ons mop and jy werk net vir ons, is glad nie wat ek bedoel nie. Julle speel 'n massive belangrike rol om ons op daai plek te hou en ons rug te cover en vir ons te bid. Maar ons moet voorvat. And we're not doing it at this stage. All right.
Okay, one last thing before Q&A. I think we had so much to say tonight. We thought that we would not have enough to we thought that we would have too much time. One thing that I want to challenge the girls on as a single girls firstly is when you are still single, this is really a consecrated time unto God. Make sure that He is the first love of your life. Vind totale vervulling net in Hom. Become a whole person, 100% whole, without any add-ons, just in Him. Just this is such a special season in your life. You're not going to have it. I mean, it feels like it drags on for years and years. But I mean, even if it's 2 years, it's nothing compared to 40 years of marriage. So really, really, you know, dig into His word. And really, I've heard the testimony of a girl when we were still in Stellenbosch. She used to, some nights, maybe once a week, once in 2 weeks, she would lay down, she would lay the table, and she would also put like a placemat for God. And that would be like a, you know, like a Friday evening, and she would have a discussion with God. And have dinner with Him. And I know it sounds very, childlike, but it's amazing. I just want you to, just note the attitude behind that. And then married girls, or married ladies, or those who are planning on getting married, do yourself and your husband a favor and never seek fulfillment in Him at all. If you are going to be so disappointed and so just distracted by seeking your fulfillment in Him, He's never going to be able to fulfill you. And I think a lot of girls are broken before they get married. And I think they think, oh, this is going to heal me. This is going to just this is dit gaan nou net die pot op my deksel, die deksel op my pot wees. And I promise you, if you're not whole before marriage, marriage is not going to heal you and make you whole.
Just, we finished now. Just the single men, I want to challenge you, get into accountability. Sort out your pride. If you can't get into accountability, then you've got an issue of pride because you don't want to open up. Sort that out. Get into accountability. And make sure that, make sure that your relationship with God is solid. That is so important. It's the biggest gift you can give your wife one day. Promise you. And ladies, I want to challenge you as well. If someone is pursuing you, make sure he knows God. Make sure that he loves God more than he actually loves you. Big challenge. Big words. But make sure he loves God more than he loves you. And for the married men and the engaged men, we need to get into accountability, people. We need to speak into one another's life. We need to have chats every now and then and hear, how's it going? Are we getting to God? Are we leading as we're supposed to lead? Amen. Any questions? How do you choose the accountability partner? I don't know, maybe you can tell that. How did you choose your accountability partner? No, I mean, obviously it doesn't help that the guy that you're going to is also struggling with the same things that you're struggling with. So if you're struggling with porn and you're going to another guy, he's also struggling with porn because he's your buddy and he's whatever, then in the end you're just going to rub one another's backs and say, oh, shame, yammer. So obviously it must be a solid guy. If like for instance, I'm William's accountability partner, I'm married, so it's good to have somebody that's maybe a few steps in front of you. I think that's always good because, yeah. Good. Is it Stephen or what is his name? Sorry, no, what's your name? Yeah, okay, yes, go for it. Sure, it's a big question. You'll never have enough money. I always said that I'm only going to marry Mika when I've got my house and everything is settled. She can just walk in there and we're going to have this great marriage. I think there it's a big thing is to consult your parents, because they're a big thing. They're going to actually carry you in those days. I personally know people that actually got married when they were still studying. But you need to remember that your parents are going to carry that load. So I think the first of all, you need to go to your parents and say, listen, I want to get married. Are you open for this? And as Mika said, we need to honor our parents. And they'll most probably tell you, listen, we don't think it's a good thing, or they'll have peace about it. And you need to go with that. Is it a misconception? I think it depends from person to person. If you are in your master's degree, then obviously no. If you're on second year, you know, how long have you actually known this person? And what are the people around you saying? What is your accountability people saying? Is this the right woman for you or the right wife for you? So I think it's a very personal thing. And I think you need to be open about it. I think it is a... ek dink dit is 'n gegronde ding om te sê ek kan nie nou getroud word nie. Ek dink hulle twee is in daai situasie. Hulle kan nie nou trou nie. Dit gaan net nie werk nie. But then you need to make sure that your relationship is so solid and you are surrounded by the right people. To actually, it is possible to go through 3 years. All right.
Ek kry net 'n kwaai vrou.
I think you only need to prioritize. What is priority in your life now? Is it more important to spend 4 hours with Haynes? Or are you here to study actually? You're here to study first of all. You need to spend time with God and then comes Haynes. Sorry Haynes, so as jy bel. Gee. Okay. Ek gaan nou vir jou net groet. No, it's not advisable. And I'd say why? Because for us together, we're married, and I love my wife extremely, but we still stump koppe, we still disagree on certain things. But at least the one thing that keeps us together is the Holy Spirit and the fact that we're actually serving one God and we're on the same mission. If you've got somebody that does not know God, but you are actually saved, he's going to pull you down to his level, and I promise you, you are going to forsake your relationship with God. You are going to compromise. And if we're looking at the bigger picture, if we have if we're driven by eternity and by God's kingdom, then I would say it's not advisable, definitely not. Yes, Bill.
Did everybody hear his question? Okay, I just want to repeat it quickly. I'm just going to summarize it. He asked, because we mentioned differences and if you're finding that you need that the other person has something that needs to be changed. And now you pass the lovey-dovey phase and now, you know, kind of reality set in and you realize that there are things that is actually bothering you. I think it really depends on what is bothering you and if it's really character things, you know. I think if it bothers you that your future husband is having a guy's night once a week, a boy's night once a week, and you think, maybe when he's married, it's going to be so nice for him to come back home. He's not going to want to do that anymore. then you're living in a false reality. So it really depends on what it is. I'm very much aware of that because as I said, I know friends personally who really thought that, you know, it's actually a small thing. I mean, if he is stirring his coffee from the right instead of the left or whatever, I mean, that's different from you and that's fine. You can live with that, I'm sure. But if there are things that is really going to determine your well-being and especially your relationship with God and your security in that relationship, that is crucial. I would definitely not sacrifice that. Did it kind of answer your question?
I think there it's extremely important, again, to have people around you where you can actually just bounce it off them. Because remember, in that relationship, there's a lot of emotion that plays a role. Jy is nie meer objektief nie. Jy is heeltyd daar binne. And that's where it is great to have somebody which you trust. I can go to Alistair and I say to him, listen, Mika has got this issue and I don't really know how to handle it. So if, for instance, we are now only dating, and I don't know, is this going to be an issue in 2 years' time? And we can actually pray about it. And I promise you, I can testify that where if you pray about things like that, God comes in and He changes it. But we need to open up. And that's the main thing. We as South African men, we don't want to do that. We're too proud. We want to sort it out in our little holy hubble there. And we're going to do this thing. But we need to open up. And nie enige Jan rap in sy maat nie, somebody that you trust, walk a road with. And then even maybe, like, for instance, I'm going to use you as an example. They know that we've got an open door to them. They've got an open door at us. They can come to us. And it's a safe environment. They can come and chat to us. And we can talk about it. We can pray about it. And we need to move out of that place where we don't chat. That's what the church is about. So I think that's very important. Liz Marie? Okay, laaste vraag. Weet ek nie, 1 Korintiërs 3 vers 16 vers 13. Dis 3. Ek dink is 13 hoor, sorry. Alright, maar ons is klaar. Ja, 16 vers 13.
Let's give them a round of applause. Thanks so much for that. We're going to end off here, guys. Unfortunately, I know there are a lot of questions and a lot of things that haven't been said tonight, but that's why we have the Lord to guide us and lead us. And next year, as I said, we'll have a full relationship week where we can really deal with these things. But I just want to, one of the questions that was asked about relationships in a first or second year, I really want to encourage you guys as well. If possible, try not to get into a relationship early in your student years, okay? If at all possible, I know if, you know, God obviously does things in His way, and you could meet someone that's the right person in your first year. But I just want to say, it's not blessed to be engaged or to go out for a long time. Okay, Mika and William met, and Tar and Mika also met, but they met, as you heard, out of relationship with God. They weren't fully in tune with God. And I believe the Lord really is, His timing is perfect with us, and He wants to help us to meet the person at the right time, that you don't have to spend years and years going out struggling with challenges. Okay, relationships bring surface a lot of things in our lives, and we get tempted in a lot of ways. So I really want to encourage you, try not to, those who are first or second year, focus on your studies, focus on what God has called you to do at this time. And then when the time is right and you've got the finances, and obviously we're not trusting in finances, but God does provide at the right time. He provides us a job and a secure environment where we can get married. We know it's the right person. You don't have to spend years being engaged and wondering if it's the right person. Okay, God is into saying, this is the right person. They're not perfect. You're not perfect. But go for it now. I will bless this marriage when He speaks. Okay, so I really want to encourage you guys, stay single, stay focused on God, because when you get married, you've got responsibility, and it brings other challenges in your life. But when you're single, you can be like the Apostle Paul. You can really change the world when you're single. Okay, you can just minister where other people can't minister, who've got families and wives and so on. Okay, I really want to encourage you in that specifically, because some of us want to find our identities in relationships. Okay, and that then it is a bit of a challenge, because then you're going to get yourself into difficult times if your identity is found in another person. Okay, so just on that question about it. Obviously, if you're ready in a relationship, you must pray and say, Lord, is this from you? And if it's not from you, I want to stop it now because I want to be fulfilling your purposes and not wasting time with someone else's wife or whatever. Okay, so really, I want to encourage you young people in that specifically. But let's all stand this evening because I believe that the Lord wants to minister to some of us this evening. I know it's been a long night, but I would really like to just give this opportunity specifically for some people just to respond this evening because, you know, Jesus, he's so excited about his church. He can't wait for us as his bride one day to meet him and so on. And his picture at this moment of the church meeting Christ is the marriage. And the marriage is such a sacred thing, as Dad mentioned. The marriage and the blessing of the marriage is just to reflect Christ and his church. That is what marriage is about. And that is why the devil specifically will target relationships. The devil is out to destroy us in our relationships, especially with the opposite sex. And that's why this thing is so crucial for us as a church to get this right. And for us as people who are focused on God's purposes is to really say, Lord, these things, these relationships amongst one another, it's really not time to play games in relationships. Why? Because it's supposed to reflect the bride of Christ. It's supposed to reflect, a marriage must reflect the relationship between Christ and his church. That is what Paul writes. And that is why it's so important for us also to come back to that place where we say, Lord, what is this all about? Is it really about us? Is it about you and your kingdom? Is it about eternity? And so this evening, I really want us all to just close our eyes right now and just to reflect, first of all, on the one relationship that determines all other relationships. This one relationship will get you through the biggest challenges, will get you through the biggest hurts and the biggest frustrations and the biggest, you know, just where you've wanted to take your life, where you've wanted to run away, where you've just wanted to just get out of this life because it's so challenging. Whether it's been hurts from relationships, from your parents, from whatever. But there's one relationship that is so important. The relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.